Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Going to be joined by David Teal from the Richmond Times-Dispatch coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the NCAA tournament, the main part of which getting underway tomorrow. We've had some play-in games to this point, but the main part of the tournament getting underway tomorrow, Joe Rexroad live in Indianapolis. Joe, we spent a lot of time talking about the backup running back position this year for the Tennessee Titans. What will that look like? Darrington Evans now gone for the Titans. Will Deontay Foreman be a part of those plans? And the answer to that is no. Deontay Foreman signing a one-year, $2 million deal with the Carolina Panthers. I believe Josina Anderson was the first person I saw with this report. That doesn't seem like a very expensive deal, Joe Rexroad. What's your reaction to Deontay Foreman signing with the Panthers for that amount of money? And do you think that that is a price the Titans should have paid to retain Deontay Foreman?
Well, I'm a little surprised. I thought he'd be more about three and a half, maybe. You know, that was kind of what I thought, that he had earned himself like a, you know, maybe even like a 2 year, $6 million deal, but more likely like a year, three and a half. So from the Titans' perspective, yeah, I think that it would be worth having him for $2 million. But let's also remember, you know, we don't know that he would have signed here. And in fact, I kind of feel like he was looking for a place where he gets more opportunity, even though he did a terrific job here. He fits into the system. And even in the playoff game with Derrick Henry coming back, he had a huge run. I could see Deontay Foreman saying, okay, I've now established myself, reestablished myself in the league. People see what I can do. Let me look for a place where I can actually get more work. I can see Deontay Foreman, his agent, saying, okay, well, Derrick's healthy now, so have a seat. Now, is that how it would have turned out? I don't know, but I think you have to keep that in mind. Like anybody Titans fan who's just like, oh, you know, the Titans should have given him that $2 million. Well, maybe they offered him the same amount and he said, I'm going to go to this opportunity.
But it certainly could be the case. I guess my follow-up to that would be like, do you really think if Christian McCaffrey stays healthy, you're getting more of an opportunity in Carolina? Now, I get it. The last 2 years, McCaffrey staying healthy is a big if. So I understand that. But if he is, like, he's going to be on the field a lot for the Panthers.
He is, but it's also, it's very much a contrast. And I, you know what I mean? So even if, so and look, and this is where discussions come into place too. I can see the Panthers saying, hey, look, Deontay, we really love what you did last year. We need more of a power running game. Christian's great. And Christian is a terrific back. He's going to be our primary back. He's going to catch the ball. He's going to be on the field a lot, but we can see you guys out there together. And when we need to get 3 yards or we're at the goal line, you're our guy, you know? I mean, and then you also have the, is Christian McCaffrey made a glass thing, which is a fair question at this point. So, so look, I mean, I would say though, it's too bad for the Titans that they couldn't make that work considering that's the price tag, because I do think he would have been a very nice backup and guy you feel fine about. Well, one, if something else happens to Derrick Henry long term, but even within a game, mix him in. So now I think it's, you know, I think Dontrell Hilliard, I think he's going to be here next year. And then it's an interesting question. Evans is gone. Is it Hilliard McNichols, or are they looking for something different, maybe even in the draft? At that position, I have them drafting 17 different positions in the draft. They did, by the way, get two supplemental compensatory picks yesterday, which is good news for them.
They did.
They got a fourth and a sixth to add to this class. And, you know, certainly that fourth could really be put to important use here.
Yeah, big deal for the Titans yesterday on that front. I am interested now. What do you do at backup running back? I wonder, like, do they want – obviously, we know they want a third down type back, right? So whether that's Hilliard or McNichols or whoever. But do they want another guy kind of like Derrick Henry? I mean, that, I think that's what made Foreman so intriguing to a lot of Titans fans is nobody's ever going to confuse Deontay Foreman for Derrick Henry out there. But the style in which they run, I think that made him appealing to a lot of the Titans fans. Do you want to have another back with that style to go along with Derrick Henry? I don't know. I don't know how the Titans feel about that. You know, obviously, if Henry gets hurt, then that totally changes the equation. But assuming that Derrick Henry is healthy, do you even need another guy like that? Or is it just all going to go to Henry at that point and you get your change of pace back, whether that's McNichols or Hilliard or whoever?
Well, maybe they don't. From Vrabel's first year, John Robinson went out and got Deion Lewis, so he had very much a contrast in the backfield. They drafted Darrington Evans in the third round. That's certainly not saying, let's have another Derrick Henry. That's saying, let's have someone as different as Derrick Henry as you could have at the position. So their prior moves, I mean, the move to get Foreman was, Henry's out, let's get someone like him. Now, they did have Foreman, remember, on the team the year before, so – And I thought he had a nice little cameo during that season. But it seems like their moves have been more about let's have a fire and ice or, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know.
Thunder and lightning.
What did they call Chris Johnson and
– Smash and Dash?
Lendell White, Smash and Dash. I like the Smash and Dash, you know.
I think I like fire and ice the best.
There's been a lot of fire and ice. You know what the greatest – two amazing fire and ice combinations. One, Michigan State, Sean Respert, Eric Snow. But actually before them, NC State, Chris Corciani and Rodney Monroe. Old school ACC Hoops fans, you know what I'm talking about. Fire and ice, baby.
I thought you were going to say like Icy Hot. That's a nice fire and ice combination. Maybe that could be the new nickname. Derrick Henry and Dontrell Hilliard. Icy Hot.
Okay. Get the t-shirts going.
Hey. Those endorsements money flowing to those two guys too.
NIL money.
Move aside, Shaq. No need you anymore. We've got Dontrell Hilliard and Derrick Henry taking over.
There you go. Yeah, I honestly feel like Dontrell Hilliard might be who they are looking at as just the number two back. And then I get if that's the case, then I would wonder, you know. Are they rounding it out? I mean, you can keep McNichols, but I feel like Hilliard could really supplant him in third down situations. I think they're that high on Hilliard. But I could be wrong, but I read between the lines a little bit, and I've liked what I've seen from him. I think he's a good all-around back. He can hit the home run too. Would they then have a McWeapon still around, or would they look for another third down back? Or maybe they'd look for another power back, but this development makes me think that's not how they see it shaken out.
I like what I've seen from Hilliard too. Got a hole on the ball. That's yes. The one hesitation I have of it wasn't just a one-time thing with him putting the ball on the ground last year.
Very true. Very true. Very fair.
So we'll see what happens on that front. But hey, add another potential need to the list in the draft, baby. Maybe running back on there at some point too.
Well, they got two picks, so they can do it all. They can do it all. Receiver, offensive guard, tight end, running back, corner, another offensive lineman, another receiver, another tight end. Boom, done.
Speaking of receiver, how much is A.J. Brown maybe seeing dollar signs right now when he looks around at some of the deals these wide receivers are getting? We'll get to that coming up next here on Robbie and Rex Show. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's. Jasper's is a casual restaurant and bar located on West End Avenue, equipped with TVs, a game room available for private events, a grab-and-go market, and free parking. Yep, free parking in downtown Nashville. This neighborhood spot is Nashville's new go-to restaurant and bar, and you can try their selection of elevated bar food ranging from appetizers to great chicken sandwiches to flatbread pizzas and the famous Smash Burger, as well as any of their delicious cocktails. So visit my friends at Jasper's, located at 1918 Weston Avenue. Once again, that's 1918 Weston Avenue. And tell ESPN 102.5 The Game is Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. Also get set for the race with Chasing Checkers every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Sean Mack from Dixon texting in says, Titans are not my favorite team, but being a Middle Tennessee guy, I'd like to see them do well. Pick up a good free agent running back like Fournette or someone like that. I don't think they're going to go in the Leonard Fournette route here, would be my guess. I don't imagine the Titans being a huge player in the free agent running back game like a Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, what is the market for Fournette?
And he's going to end up back in Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah, probably now. That's a
everybody's going to end back up in Tampa now.
Yeah, everybody's going to, and you know, the camp doesn't exist, so they'll pay them all, man.
All with Colby McOlderstein.
Russell Gage. Yeah, Russell Gage apparently going down to Tampa now, too. So, see you later, Antonio Brown. Got Russell Gage, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans. I'm sure Gronk's coming back at some point. They'll be fine.
Sounds like a good 9-8 season.
Wow. They're going to be a called shot now? In the NFC South, going 9-8?
Nah, let me see the roster. I'm not willing to commit to that yet.
Got a texter that says, is Jordan Wilkins still on the practice squad for the Titans? Jordan Wilkins, who we talked about when the Titans picked him up on the practice squad. Kind of an intriguing guy. We never really saw him do much here with the Titans, but I don't know. Could the Titans like Jordan Wilkins and maybe want to make him a part of the plans as they move forward here?
No, that's actually, I mean, that's not a bad, thought. You know, I always thought he was a pretty good player. Yeah. Again, like there just wasn't room for him. I mean, this is one of those situations where they were so loaded, at running back. I mean, they were overstocked. And then of course, Jonathan Taylor turns out to be as good or probably better than they even thought. And then, but Wilkins had some really good moments in there. They did sign him to a 1-year deal.
Yep.
So, and that was in December. So yeah, that's a very good call. Maybe that's the trio, you know, Henry, Wilkins and Hilliard, and Wilkins. Although, well, I'm looking at their roster online. They still have Deontay Foreman on there. So this is
well, free agency doesn't technically begin until today, Joe. Can't break any rules.
That's right. You can't make anything official, you know, until the actual stuff, the actual real stuff starts. But 1-year deal, $920K. You know, I guess my question on him is, you know, he's not old. I mean, he's, you know, he's 27, so good player at Ole Miss. He's from Cordova, by the way. I didn't realize that. So, West Tennessee guy.
Oh yeah,
that could be a decent way to go. Yeah,
maybe we've just figured out the plans for the Titans at running back.
Thank you, Texter.
Yes, thank you very much. So, another thing the Titans are going to have to figure out probably, I would assume at some point this offseason, there's no rush on it necessarily at the moment, is what does the next contract look like for A.J. Brown? And I think John Robinson said at the combine that there have been maybe very, very, very preliminary discussions on that front, but, you know, went on to say A.J. knows how much he means to us, and we know how much the football team means to A.J. So I would assume at some point that's going to be a priority for the Titans to get A.J. Brown's next contract figured out. My question for you, Joe Rexroad, is how much money is A.J. Brown going to make on that next contract? We talked about the tweets yesterday when Christian Kirk signed a 4-year, $72 million contract, including $37 million fully guaranteed with the Jags. You know, the tweet from A.J. Brown of just kind of sitting back and the eyes raising up, and probably a good day to be AJ Brown, knowing and trying to envision what you could get on the open market. Mike Williams signing the other day, 3-year deal worth $60 million, $40 million fully guaranteed. You know, AJ Brown is obviously still very young and is ascending as one of the top receivers in the NFL. What do we think the numbers for the next AJ Brown contract could look like for the Titans? And if you're the Titans, I guess how much planning do you think they've done at that point to accommodate what those numbers could be for AJ Brown?
Well, they're going to be very big, but what one part of your planning is being hopeful. And I think you have reason for hope that the cap keeps going up the max every year because of the TV deals and the streaming deals.
Yep.
You know, so you do keep that in mind when you plan ahead on, and that's the thing, you know. Yes, I mean, I think it is a good discussion on the cap and maybe adjusting some of this and making it a little less difficult to do what teams are doing with these contracts. But also, a lot of teams are doing this stuff now because it's heading back the other way, right? I mean, a lot of teams are doing this now because they're envisioning, okay, then it goes up to here, the next year it goes up to here, so we can keep kicking it and it's going to keep going up and we're going to be okay. And I think that there's reason to think that way. But as far as the AJ actual deal, you know, the only question with him to me is the health thing. And that is certainly something that, well, frankly, if I was on the other side from the table of him with him in a room or with his agent, I would certainly be bringing that up.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, what are we talking about here? You know, if you want to talk about guarantees, which is really what matters, you know, Michael Thomas is, Michael Thomas has been, when he was absolutely, it's funny we forget about him, right? A couple of years ago, it was like, oh, he's the best receiver in the game. You know, his deal, $61 million guaranteed. Amari Cooper, 60. Whew.
Yeah.
And of course, Julio's deal, which still on the books there. He got 64 guaranteed. As far as per year salary, DeAndre Hopkins is number one, $27 million a year. I think it's upward of 20, probably, right? Yeah. I think by the time you get to that, I think you're talking about more than 20 a year. But again, with the NFL contracts, the question really is how much guaranteed money in there? I mean, 60?
I think there could be. I'm
four for 80 something, and it's 60 guaranteed. I mean, I think it's in that neighborhood.
It could be. I'm interested to see where the Davante Adams contract ends up, whether right. That's you know long term with the Packers or whatever, because that's going to reset the market, whatever that is. And like obviously, he's probably asking for close to 30 because of what DeAndre Hopkins is making. So I don't know. We'll see if he ends up getting that or not, but. I feel like once the Davante Adams contract gets set one way or the other, that kind of resets the market. And, you know, if you're AJ Brown, you're hoping for Davante Adams to make as much money as he possibly can. That'll shoot you up the ladder a little bit too.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to, I mean, that will be the market setter. And, you know, sometimes with these quarterback deals, you know, the quarterback, like for example, Matt Stafford with Detroit a few years ago, it was like $30 million, right? But you knew people were going to go ahead of him. It was just that he was next up. With Adams, he's going to reset the market, but also he's the best. So yeah. You know that's one of those where you still have to fall in line behind that. It's not like the next guy is getting more than that. He's going to. I would wager he'll. That contract will be the receiver contract in the league for a little while, you know, a couple of years, something like that. So, but yeah, I mean, if he gets 30, what is AJ? AJ Brown is not Davante Adams.
No,
but AJ Brown is,
he's pretty darn good
when he's on the field. He's, and again, like the way he played, you know, like late last year when he got through some stuff, he's on a pretty short list. He's moving up that list of best receivers in the game.
If Davante Adams gets near 30 per year, like I think AJ Brown is safely in the 20s, if that makes any sense. Like,
yeah.
Again, that sounds like just a massive number, and it is, but hopefully the cap does keep going up and that contract becomes more flexible in terms of what you can do with the rest of the roster. But between it is like everybody keeps talking about, like, why are the Titans not spending money right now? And we've talked about the direct impact this year. I mean, when you do start thinking about not only A.J. Brown's contract, but what Jeffrey Simmons is going to look like as well. And now you just signed Harold Landry. It's a lot of money you got to account for if you're John Robinson.
Yeah, and there's a salary cap, strangely enough. Contrary to some reports, there is a salary cap. So if you're wondering if the Titans, why aren't they doing anything right now? Is it just because like they hate all the free agents or whatever other things that someone might want to make up? No, it's because of the cap. And yes, it is this too. It is the down the road reality. I mean, those guys are, you know, number 98, number 11 are in the long-term plans. I have no doubt about that.
Mark from Clarksville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If I'm AJ, I'm signing for no less than 4 years, $100 million, and $70 million of it guaranteed. This is coming from Mark from Clarksville. So I guess that would be roughly $25 million a year, but the guaranteed money, really what you're paying attention to there. $70 million guaranteed, that'd be a lot.
That is a lot. You know, it's interesting looking at some of these receiver deals. Like even, you know, Hopkins deal, huge deal, right? But fully guaranteed, 42 mil.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, I mean, even like Tyreek Hill's deal, and he's got another one coming, but out of his deal, which is, you know, 18 a year, again, that'll change. But his guaranteed money is a total of 18. But then you get like, I mean, Julio's deal with the Falcons, man. Woo! The all-time greatest contract for a receiver, 64 mil guaranteed.
Yeah, buddy.
So, and of course, you know, now the Titans are paying him. And I think they'll keep paying him. I believe they'll continue to pay him next year.
We'll find out on that front. Let's go back to the text line. Got a texture that says, why do the Titans insist on the run it back approach? They've tried it for the last 3 years. You'll love this part. It won't work until you get rid of that garbage quarterback. He's not good enough to make an arena football team. That's coming from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Is that texter is your username Starid Gilman?
I don't know.
A garbage, there it is. I love it. A garbage QB who wouldn't make an arena team. That's beautiful.
Send Tannehill to the AFL. Oh yes.
Tannehill, I hope you're in Birmingham soon for USFL tryouts because the USFL season is starting soon in Birmingham.
There's no way that Ryan Tannehill could have played for the Nashville Cats back in the day. Tim McGraw would have cut him immediately.
Maybe you can go down there and compete with Shea Patterson to be the Michigan Panthers quarterback. I'm just saying.
I'm sure
let's overstate
would be really
things
excited.
A little bit.
I think Jeff Fisher would be really excited to have Ryan Tannehill. That's just me.
Yeah, that's – I mean, that's his, you know, that's almost like he's like the Titans coach again. So in the serious part of that text, you know, in terms of running it back, I mean, there's a lot of things that you do want to run back, aren't there? I mean, you were the number one seed last year. You totally blew it in the playoffs. We can all agree with that. But, like, you were the number one seed last year with the most injured team ever.
Yeah.
I mean, that – something good must have happened on the football field for that to happen. I don't know.
NFL Coach of the Year. Good stuff. There's a lot
I know that, you know, there's no Titans fan who finds a bit of solace in that, and I don't blame you at all. And probably Vrabel, too. He probably, like, glares at the award every day as he walks by it, okay? But, like, they did do a couple decent things last year.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Going to be a wild NCAA tournament. We'll get Joe's thoughts on who could be some surprise teams in the tournament. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live tonight on 102.5 The Game. Smashville Live airs on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and on Twitter as well. So be sure to join us for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Got the choice is yours. Coming up here in about 15 minutes, Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair today. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I think Joe Rexroad has locked himself out of his room again.
Which I think he's getting the new key.
This has happened like twice. It's amazing. The Indy Hotel is going to be the death of Joe Rexroad at this point.
Well, I was so confused because I forgot he was in Indy today because he's just been traveling all over the place. Like the text we got yesterday was so frantic. He's like, okay, I fly home from Tampa and then I got to do laundry and then I got to turn around, come to the meeting and then I got to drive to Indy. I'm like, Joe, I don't understand how you have so much energy. Like, we're younger and he's go, go, go.
He's all over it. All over it. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Mark from Clarksville texting in says, are you guys picking tournament winners on air? It would be neat to hear who you guys have winning it all. We all know Michelle is going with Kentucky. Michelle, have you filled out your bracket yet? Do you have Kentucky winning the national title?
Oh, I filled out many brackets, but in every single one, you know, there just seems to be that one constant, which is the last team standing. And yes, it is Kentucky. I do. I filled out a bunch of them. Darren McFarlane sent me a CBS bracket challenge thing. I love it. It's my favorite thing.
Filling out brackets are fun. I've got Gonzaga winning, which is, I know, really taking a leap of faith that the number one seed is going to win the tournament. But I feel like this is their year. I've got Gonzaga winning. If you saw Rexroad's article in The Athletic, I think Michelle Knezevic probably likes who he picks as well.
I was actually surprised when I called in on Monday and then I went to go check his article. But I mean, how insane would it be if we saw another Kentucky-Tennessee game in the national championship game? I mean, that would be amazing.
It would be awesome. I think it's extremely unlikely that happens, but it would be awesome for that to happen one way or the other. But I don't know. You think your cats? Look, I will say, and I'm not saying this just to be a Kentucky troll, although that is one of my favorite things to do. The second round, if I'm Kentucky, the potential second round matchup against Murray State would scare the daylights out of me because Murray State, I think, is really, really good.
Oh, I agree. And if Murray State were to beat UK in the second round, I think the entire state of Kentucky would burn to the ground. And that is not a joke. No, I mean, okay. I even said that. That's a potential upset. I tweeted out a bunch of, you know, mid-major teams potentially upsetting some of the bigger high-level teams. And, oh, that's completely possible, especially the way they shot the other night.
Yeah, like I think Kentucky's too athletic at the end of the day for a team like Murray State. But as I've been filling out my bracket, I did take some time on that game. And maybe I've watched Murray State play a couple of times this year. Maybe I just am too caught up in what I've seen at that level of competition. But, Joe, I think if I'm Kentucky, the idea of a Murray State second round game would scare me.
Yeah, and of course, as soon as you see the bracket, you're Kentucky, you're just like, oh, of course. Yeah. But this is what they try to do, you know? This is what they try to do. So, and I love it. I'm here for it all the way. And, yeah, I think it could be interesting. Murray State is a legit team. Murray State is a Sweet 16 quality team with two guys who I think are going to play in the NBA. And just an all-around really good team, really well coached. No, I mean, I'll be honest, like, because obviously they're here, so you always have the two different pods. But I'm pretty excited about the idea of a Saturday here, you know, probably covering Tennessee against, I don't know, Michigan or Colorado State. Colorado State may not even get here because they can't get a plane.
Yeah.
And then a little Kentucky-Murray State action could be quite interesting on Saturday.
So, Joe, do you have a dark horse candidate that you're taking a look at that you think could make a deep run in this year's tournament? I mean, whether that's Murray State, and I guess by dark horse, you know, what qualifies as a dark horse? Is it like Iowa? Are they're a five seed? Are they a dark horse to make a deep run?
Well, if they are, then that's my answer because I have them in my final four. So
you're all in with the Hawkeyes, baby.
Me too, Joe. Me too.
I feel like you and I are not alone. I feel like there's a little bit of that's a little bit of a trendy pick. And I'm a little bit now, I'm like, I'm regretting it a little bit because Iowa has traditionally has underwhelmed in this thing, you know, relative to what they've done in some of their regular seasons. But I mean, Keegan Murray is just, he's just that good. So what, like, how low on the seed list do you qualify to be a dark horse? I mean, they're not a top four seed, so I think you could make the case. I'll give you another team that I think could be, first of all, they could be upset right away, but I feel like Illinois against Arizona.
Yep.
Possible Sweet 16 matchup in San Antonio, which of course could be the other game across. If it goes chalky, it's Tennessee Nova and it's Arizona Illinois. Illinois, man. With Kofi Coburn inside and with all their guards and everything, they are very dangerous. So,
full disclosure, I have Illinois in the national title game.
Whoa! I like it. I like the original bracket.
Guys, I've got Rutgers in the Final Four.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Let's get in there.
They're my dark horse, honestly.
You're such a New Jersey homer.
Whoa.
I thought you were from New York.
We need to take about 35 steps back on that comment.
So does Michelle have Tennessee losing to Longwood? Is that where we've come to in this in this bracket process?
No, I've got Tennessee going, I think, to the Elite Eight.
Okay. All right. I'll give you props. How many Tennessee fans do you think are scared to death to pick Tennessee to go to the Final Four in their bracket? It just, everything about it scares them.
Well, certainly the Tennessee fan that thinks that when they get too positive about something, it jinxes it. I'm sure they're none of them are putting them in there, right? You can't. But as far as like Tennessee fans wanting to believe and embrace this team, I've even seen, you know, some Vol Twitterers who I know to be Rick Barnes. I would say Rick Barnes haters almost. Yep. But at the very least, huge Rick Barnes skeptics who I've seen in recent days kind of like, man, I love Rick Barnes. He's so great, you know. And
But you see the video Tennessee put out yesterday of like Rick Barnes mic'd up for the celebration? I mean, I don't know how you can't like that guy.
No, you absolutely can't not like the guy. I'd wager that as much as any team in this tournament, this team, you know, again, you know, we talked about it the other day, but it's playing for Rick Barnes. And so I think there's I think Tennessee fans love this team. They should. You know, it's a really, and this is a Rick Barnes thing. I will say that of teams I've covered, and Tom Izzo had some great Michigan State teams with great guys, a lot of them, but some of these Tennessee teams he's had, it's just a great, just great group of kids. And I hate to call them kids, but you know, I mean, that's basically what they are. Well, not Fulkerson. Fulkerson's older than me, but yeah. But you know,
Fulkerson was playing college basketball when Peyton Manning was at Tennessee.
But it's you have to love the team. Can you emotionally put yourself in the line, Tennessee fans, to believe that this team's going to make a run? I understand the emotional risk there. I do. I mean, this tournament Longwood is a terrific story. That's what's great about this tournament. You can go, yeah, granted, you're going to have some of these 16s that just get blown away, and probably some 15s too. But, I mean, you start getting into the – even like Colgate against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I think Wisconsin's going to win. But Colgate is the number 2 3-point shooting team in the country. They got a 6'10 and a 6'11 guy. I'd be really interested in that game. I would not sleep on that game if you want.
Great hygiene too.
Yes, that too. Yes. Yes, I mean PK Subban would love Colgate.
Yes, he would.
But so Longwood is and we're going to talk with David Teal, but I bet you there's going to be some moments on Thursday where it's like, ooh, this team's pretty good. That's what the tournament is. That's why it's great. So you just have to put yourself on the line and just be ready to be hurt.
Mike on the text line says, I like Iowa as well with their 10th-year senior Jordan Bohannon. It's coming from Mike on the text line. Who's been playing college basketball longer, John Fulkerson or Jordan Bohannon?
Well, actually, I think Wisconsin's Brad Davison is the uncle of both of them. So
I also think they're older than me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in all seriousness, I think that's true. I mean, Fulkerson's about to be 25.
Okay, yeah, so same age.
I thought he was about to be 45, but yeah.
If he keeps eating that Pals every day with that NIL money, you know, he'll get there quicker than he wants to.
You see the somebody put up yesterday like a side by side picture of like Kenny Stabler at age 37 and Tom Brady at age 45. It's freaking amazing. It's like, well, here's the power of like, you know, eating kale every day, and here's the power of drinking beer every day. It's amazing.
Yeah, smoking cigarettes and drinking bourbon on the sidelines of games.
Coming up next, it is time for The Choice Is Yours. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair today. Michelle, I turn things over to you.
Okay, guys. So in honor of March, the madness starts tomorrow. So we are doing a fully basketball March Choice Is Yours segment. What do you guys want to start with? Non-sports or sports?
Let's go sports.
Let's go sports. Okay. In the current bracket this year, we talked about a couple upsets. I'll give you guys a minute to think. What would be the best upset for you that would just fuel your soul morally? So looking at the bracket, if Davidson beat Michigan State and played Duke, if Davidson upset Duke, now that would just fuel my soul. We saw Coach K in his final home game. If he were to lose in the tournament in the second round against Davidson, I just think that would just be so incredible. And I just couldn't wait for the post-game speech.
Forget the second round. Give me the first round. Cal State.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
You're not going to find a bigger Cal State Fullerton Titans fan than me this week. Take down Duke, and just hearing Coach K's press conference. I mean, I'm sure they'd have some players up there from Duke, and they'd start talking, and then all of a sudden Coach K would jump all over the top of them and start talking for them. But I'm a big Cal State Fullerton fan this week, Joe Rexrod. Big one.
Well, I think you're far from alone. I'll change my answer. I'll do a different answer because that was mine too. Like, as soon as Coach K can have his farewell tour ended, I think most of the country will be like, yay. But let me see. There's a few. Like, well, I will say, first of all, if Will Wade weren't fired, then my answer would probably be Iowa State over LSU. But now that he is fired, you know, I kind of actually feel for the LSU kids, and you know, you got the interim coach, and so that's kind of an interesting story. How about a little Jacksonville State over Auburn?
Oh, I like that one.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I like that one too.
And you know, again, like, I really like the Auburn kids, but Bruce Pearl, Bruce Pearl going down to a 15. There'd be a little bit of soul filling there. Here,
I'm also a big St. Peter's Peacocks fan this week as well. Taking on,
Kentucky I was
tomorrow.
Just going great. To say, mm-hmm. I'm so proud of neither of you for saying that, but Robbie just soiled it with that one. Okay, guys,
go St. Peter's.
Yeah. Okay, now we're switching to non-sports. What is your best bracket name? So it could be one you came up with, a bracket that you were a part of, or one that you just think would be a cool name for a March Madness bracket.
Well, it's interesting because a couple of guys that I go to church with, we started a bracket group last night, and my title of my bracket was I Bet Jesus Can Dunk. So that's what I'm going with.
I love that. Jesus Can Dunk. I absolutely love that, Rob.
Nice.
That's my answer. Good.
I know that I've had interesting names, and yet I can't think of them right now.
Is yours just the Oldie McOldsters?
Well, that we could do that. I could go with, for years in my fantasy football league in Michigan with my buddies, they making fun of me because Katie's my boss. They called me Joe Matvius. That's her name. You know, so we could go with that. Her maiden name is my last name.
I love
Let's go with that.
That's Joe great. Matvius. So I thought this was kind of clever. I came up with this last night. My stepdad, Dan, you all met him. His whole family went to Notre Dame. So I did a bracket challenge with all of us, and I did Play Like a Champion, and then the motto was No Excuses. So I thought that was pretty clever on my part.
Nice. The tap of the sign before each game. Just walking down some tunnel somewhere.
Like, huge Notre Dame fans. Guys, we had that sign in my mudroom growing up.
Wow.
The Play Like a Champion, and we would hit it when we would leave for school.
The big Brian Kelly fan. He missed Brian Kelly. Wondering why he didn't do those dances at Notre Dame.
No, I think they're good with that. I think we're good with the switch over there, our family. All right. Okay, what was that? Was that sports? Or no, that was not sports. Okay,
that was not sports.
Switching to sports. I know this month is all about memories in college basketball, a lot of great moments. Do you guys remember a specific moment or have a favorite moment watching a March Madness game? Or it doesn't even have to be favorite. It could just be like grueling.
Actually, the floor is yours. I'm sure you've got about 10 of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's... For one thing, I've been just been lucky enough to cover some incredible like buzzer beaters and stuff. So like there's a lot of that. But honestly, I'm going all the way back to the first time that I really got into watching the Final Four. Two games. One was, and I'm dating myself, but Houston-Louisville in the 83 tournament was like the most incredible. If you weren't a basketball fan before and you watched that game, you were a huge basketball fan. It was like the most incredible collection of dunks ever in a college basketball game. I still like it, still hasn't been touched. And it was Phi Slamma Jamma for Houston, which I love them. And then Louisville Dr. Dunk. I mean, it was incredible. But then I was actually allowed to stay up Monday night as a very young child to watch the national championship game and watch NC State incredibly beat a Houston team that should have beat them by 25 points. Lorenzo Charles at the end, like, I mean, that's still an all-time moment in sports in America, and I had no idea that would be the case at the time, but I just knew that I was in love, and I've been in love ever since.
I've got a few that stand out to me. Obviously, being an MTSU alum, when they took down Michigan State, that was awesome. So I remember where I was watching that game. It was great. I think I allowed myself to believe it was actually going to happen with like maybe 2 minutes left. I was like, wow, they're actually going to do this and pull this off. MTSU taking down Michigan State, which Joe Rexrode remembers quite well, no question about it.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely on my list. The other two that really stand out to me that came straight to mind, the national title game between Villanova and North Carolina, unbelievable.
Yes.
Just the way that one ended was amazing. That one's going to be hard to top in terms of the way that it ended. And then, honestly, last year, Jalen Suggs, buzzer beater against UCLA, it was incredible. Like, that entire game was unbelievable. And Jalen Suggs walking it off like that for Gonzaga was amazing. So, I mean, there's a lot we could go through, like, you know, back in the Bruce Pearl days, some runs that Tennessee had. But those three are the ones that immediately came to mind.
Okay, so mine is an incredible game, but it also really just hurt my soul. So this is 2017, the Elite Eight, Kentucky, UNC. I was in a frat house, right? And everybody's in their Kentucky gear, and there's this huge projector on the wall, and everybody's watching the game, right? So Malik Monk ties it with 7 seconds to go, and everybody's like, oh my God, this is the most insane thing ever. Like, we're going to go into overtime. We're going to go to the Final Four. And then with about 4 seconds left, Luke May hits, I think, a long two-pointer. And then the entire room, everybody's jaw just dropped. And then there was 0.3 seconds left. And it was out of a movie because the excitement level to tie the game was incredible. And then seconds later, just nobody said anything.
Joe, I've got another one that comes to mind. 2015, Frank the Tank and Sam Decker taking out Kentucky.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. No, there's so many. Those heartbreakers for the Cats. I'm going to find the video that Charles Robinson took of me from Houston in the Carolina tying shot against Villanova on press row. He was behind me on press row, took a video, and I was totally unprofessional like this. Like, oh, my God, when he hit the shot. And it was on Twitter, and I was being totally ratioed for it for like 2 days.
Okay, Joe, I absolutely love that. Okay, to finish out non-sports, you are a fan. You're not working, Joe. You're a fan at the national championship game. Your team is in the national championship. What do you look like in the stands as a fan? I can go first. I am decked out in Kentucky gear, head to toe. I've got Kentucky necklaces on. I've got a soft pretzel in my hand with cheese, and I'm dunking it, and I'm biting the pretzel as I'm screaming at the game, and I'm just going insane.
I got a picture of Rick Barnes on my T-shirt, and all it just says is Deacon Barnes. I stand with Deacon Barnes. That's what my outfit looks like.
I love that.
I don't have an answer because I really don't have a team. But I guess, I mean, I'm a Virginia Tech football fan. That's the thing. It's like
Cal State Fullerton Titans.
I mean, if I could have, if the UC Santa Cruz Banana Slugs could be in the national title game,
oh yeah,
and I could have a Banana Slugs sweatshirt, I would love that. But it's kind of just year for year, like I sometimes adopt teams that I really like. But you know, I got Hokies gear. I wear my Hokies gear.
It makes me mad that you don't have a team that I can't just dagger you like you guys do with Kentucky.
DB Joe?
Yeah.
Vandy Joe?
Vandy Joe. Vandy is in the national championship game. Do you have you have a Bulls Scottie Pippen senior shirt on? That's it.
Maybe that's it.
Mm. Been seeing Scottie Pippen around town lately. It's been interesting.
Hey, I'm reading his book, guys. I have more updates to come.
Nice. This has been The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Michelle, very well done. That was fun.
Thank you, guys.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the NCAA tournament. We'll be joined by David Teal from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. We'll get his thoughts on the Vols and all things NCAA tourney coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.